take a ride on the MCT. Funko
Pop. Hey guys. Welcome to the Modern Christian Jews Podcast. This is Jeremiah Johnson. Dudes talking news, sports, and God. This is going to be a little bit different here today. No Funko Pro Greg Walden. Just myself, Jeremiah Johnson, but I do have a bunch of dudes with me. I have dudes in the studio, and this is going to be awesome. We're going to do a four-part Bible study on the next few podcasts, and it's going to be really good. It's going to be called Sin Management, and I'm super excited about it. So I am a master's degree student, so I'm always doing homework, writing papers, and I had to write a paper recently on Samson and male sexuality. And so I wanted to turn that paper into a four-part Bible study series geared towards guys, and specifically guys 18 to 35. So in these next four podcasts, you're going to hear four different topics we're going to talk about. The first one is love versus lust. Second, compartmentalization. The third is identity. And fourth, second chances. So we're going to look at the life of Samson really as our primary case study for these issues. So I got two primary video participants today with me, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Go ahead first, Harrison.
Hello,
your name, occupation, a little bit about yourself.
My name is Harrison Lopez. I am an electrician, and I'm also a member of Grace Point Church, and I'm also a member of an online church called Discovery Ministries.
And you're a male. How old are you?
I am 28.
Okay, cool. So there you go. We're hitting the 18 to 35. This is going to be for you today. Harrison is single, by the way, so we can put the contact information in the show notes, et cetera, the link, yeah. ChristianMingle.com. Just kidding. Anyway. She's coming, Harrison. All right, over to you, Rolando.
Hi, I'm Rolando Hernandez, and I'm a mechanic or technician for Toyota. I'm also a member here at Grace Point, and I have two beautiful children of my own.
Yep, right. So you and I, we're the married dudes here. Yep. In this conversation. Mm-hmm. So the thrill of the hunt, the chase is over for us, but not for Harrison. So anyway, we're living differently. He's living the life, isn't he, yeah, man? Sometimes, Rolando, as much as we love our life, our wife and kids, we long for those days, that's, you know, right, to be single. Just kidding. So enjoy it. Enjoy this. So. All right. That's so cool. Anyway, I want to start off by giving us a warning. When you hear that phrase, sin management, I was pitching this idea to a guy in our church. And the first thing he said to me was like, wait, aren't we supposed to run from sin, not manage sin? And that is actually right. This is just like, it's a clickbait title. So you really can't manage sin. So I want to be completely clear as we start this Bible study. You can't manage sin. So I started shuffling through the church janitor's closet the other day, and I found this can of Rust-Oleum spray paint. And you'll often find these different items that have a warning label or a warning on the back. And this can of spray paint says, warning, cancer and reproductive harm. So I just realized that. I'm like, wait a second. I've been using too much spray paint. I'm used to use spray paint when I was very stressed out as a youth pastor. But anyway, no, just kidding. Spray paint can cause cancer or reproductive harm. So now I'm going to consider whether I want to use spray paint anymore. But anyway, that's the warning label. So I connect this thought to Samson's life and that he ultimately welcomed sin into his life and he still tried to operate in the gifts and the calling God had for them. So what's interesting, and we'll talk through this a little bit, is that although God's will was done in Samson's life, what he intended to accomplish through him actually did happen. It was harmful and destructive. So if you guys read this before, Samson, the story of Samson?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably we're familiar with it. We've heard it before. Judges, chapters 13 to 16. So let me do just a real brief summary. Most of us know Samson for long hair, really strong Delilah, I mean, for the most part. But his story is in Judges chapter 13 to 16. Chapter 13 tells us of his birth, which was preceded by a divine messenger of God. Not just once, but twice, a messenger, and out of the voice version I was reading, it said a messenger of the Eternal One visits his parents to tell him of his birth and the special plan God has for his life. So this was just not a normal dude. I mean, if you would go talk to our moms, I know my mom did not have an angelic visitation by an angel of the Lord to say, Jeremiah is coming. He's going to be an amazing man of God. Right. He's going to do great things for the Lord. So clearly, although there's no favoritism in the kingdom of God, clearly there's a special plan that God has for Samson, that there would be two separate angelic visits to his parents to be like, listen, you're going to have a son, and he's got a plan. He has a calling in his life to do great things for the Lord, to help deliver the people of God. So that's what happens. 13, chapter 13 concludes by saying, in due time, the woman did bear a son, and she named him Samson. The boy grew, the eternal God blessed him, and the spirit of the eternal one began to move in him, and Mahanah Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. So it's interesting in these biblical stories that we don't, you know, his whole life, we get his whole life in like three chapters. His life was much more extensive than that. But clearly, he started well, because it's saying that the spirit of God is moving through him, that he's growing in the Lord. It's like, it's kind of like Jesus. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with the Lord, tracking real. And so is Samson here. But chapter 14 is where we see Samson enter his first unhealthy and destructive relationship, all right? So he basically goes and finds this ungodly woman who's not one of the people of God and doesn't love God, and it really starts to start the downward spiral of his entire life. So chapter 14 is where he ends into this first unhealthy relationship. Chapter 15, he's on a revenge tour for that relationship falling apart and starts like killing people and stuff. And then chapter 16, this is really the one where most of us are probably most familiar with Samson. It's composed of his interaction with a prostitute, the relationship he's most known for with Delilah, and then his death, right? So in short, and you can read his whole story, like I said, it's 13 to 16. It's four chapters. It's not very long. But in short, it's a sad story, but one that teaches us many lessons, specifically for guys, that leads us to what I want to talk about in this session. So we're going to, in this session, talk about love versus lust. And I think this is something that we deal with as guys, all right? So let me ask you a very interesting question. You're probably going to not give me a true answer, or be honest, you're going to act real spiritual. But how often do you think about sex in a day?
Yeah, man.
How often do you think about sex in a day? Probably don't have an exact answer. Wait, no. Anyway, you don't necessarily have to answer that.
No, I'll answer that. Okay? I'll answer that. No, it comes. I mean, I think about it maybe once, maybe twice a day, maybe even three times a day.
Okay.
But those thoughts come, and then I have to you know, catch those thoughts. I have to catch those thoughts, and I have to reject them. And that's pretty much what I do. I don't really like to dwell on them too much, because it's not healthy. I mean, it's just lust, right? It's really, honestly, just an attack from the devil. It's a spirit of lust being, you know, just that thought being thrown at me. And it's just leading me into this pornographic kind of thought. And so I don't like to entertain that. And so it comes, right? But I don't dwell on it. No, sometimes I do, right? And then I'm like, okay, whoa. And I reject it, and I say, I reject that in the name of Jesus. That's what I do. Now I'm learning that I need to have scriptures to stand on. And luckily, I have a mentor of mine who ended up sending me some scriptures and stuff like that. He's going to let me know, or that tells you, you know, how you're supposed to keep your mind clean. And then also to look at girls, you know, especially Christian girls, you know, in our church as sisters, because there's a scripture in that. I think it was, what was it?
While you looked that up, the reason I brought this up is interesting, is a study produced by Ohio State University found that the median number of times young men think about sex stood at almost 19 times per day. That was their study. So they gave like some clicker or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, every time you think about it, you click the button, and it was roughly 19 times a day. Yeah. But what's funny about that particular study, this is more, that's a more recent one, because back in the 2010 area time, this debunks a prior study that stated men think about sex every 7 seconds, which would be 514 times an hour, or 7,200 times a day. So because I remember my wife throwing
this
that one at me.
This has got to be carnal men, though.
Yeah.
It's got to be carnal men.
Anyway, that was like 2010. I don't remember the exact year, but I do remember my wife back in the day throwing me at that one. Like, all you do is think about, see, this survey says men think about sex every 7 seconds. I was like, man, I don't even think, I mean, you know.
I said that I like think about that one or three times, and I don't keep count of this. Like, imagine if I did, you know, had like a chalkboard, but okay, that's once today. Yeah. I bet it would be pretty long. But anyways, but I found that scripture. It was 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. It says, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. This verse encourages treat others with respect and purity, especially within the Christian community.
Because in a normal world, we wouldn't lust after our sister.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So, exactly. Rolando, did you want to answer? No, just kidding. You don't have to answer.
I would have to think hard, honestly.
Yeah, I know. We're not counting, but...
Yeah.
here's kind of the point. I think we immediately go to the, kind of the negative aspect, but our sexuality is a key part of who we are, and it will influence our choices and life experiences. It will affect the mental, emotional, and physical aspects of a man's life. So we are created to be sexual people, though. Like, I'm not trying to get all weird, you know, podcast, but that's, we're created to be sexual people. We're created to have sex. We're created, you know, my boy, you know, I have daughters, and, you know, it's harder, you know, I have sons, but, you know, they're going to grow up and become adults. And I hope that they, you know, find husbands and wives, and guess what? They're just like I did. I'm a married man. You know, they're going to have sexual relationship. That's going to be a part of their, an aspect and a part of their relationship. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's actually can be very godly and very good when we flush it through the way God intends for us to do it, as opposed to Samson. So Samson's battle regarding sexuality begins in Judges 14, 1 to 2. So let me read this. Judges chapter 14, 1 to 2. Samson went down from the hill country to the Philistine town of Timnah on the coastal plain, and he saw a Philistine woman there. When he came home, he told his parents, "I saw this woman in Timnah who captured my attention. She's a Philistine, but I want her for a wife. I beg you, make the arrangements for her to be my wife." There's various versions, but basically, I'll sum it up in like a 2024 dude version, is he was like, "Whoa, she's super hot. I want her." Essentially. And so what's the problem with this desire for this woman? Question.
Just seems like he's just driven by the flesh. And didn't he get opposed by his parents too, not to do this?
Yes.
So that's one red flag right there. I mean, there's two red flags, right? His parents weren't with it, and then his his flesh wanting it. So those are the two problems right there.
And maybe his influence too. Like, you know, growing up, you never know. Like, maybe like friends and stuff, you know,
that he had,
mind and stuff all the time. Yeah. So
we don't, because we don't get to read that necessarily in the details of story.
You know, he had to have friends.
Yeah.
Everybody so has friends. Two primary issues. The big one, which we know, is that she's not a follower of the one true God. So that's a problem. Yeah. You know, people have twisted this verse to be like, "Oh, this means you can't." So you know, Rolando, you were born in Guatemala, so that would mean your wife is white, right?
Right.
So that'd be like, you totally sinned, man. You married another culture. And some people have believed that, you know, like, "Oh, you can't intermix races."
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
Yeah.
The Old Testament point of God saying, like, don't marry that foreign woman was like, the reason you don't marry that foreign woman, because she doesn't love God. She doesn't know the one true God. She's not connected to him. And she's going to mess up your worship to the one true God, because she's going to pull you away from that. So that's the number one reason. And then also his desire wasn't, at least what we read, wasn't based off of conversation, relationship. "Oh, we really connect. You know, we really, know each other well. We really feel like we're going to be a good fit." It was just basically, "Oh, I see her. I want her. I want her to be mine." And that is lust. So what is lust? The Webster Dictionary says lust is usually intense or unbridled sexual desire. And so I summarize lust just by saying lust is all about me and what I want, right? So we're not really going to go in this direction, so don't get too uncomfortable, but, you know, in a godly married relationship, we will have sex, will be a part of that relationship. And it should be for the benefit and connection of both of us as partners, right? Mm-hmm. Lust is like, that's why lust is, you go get a prostitute because all you want is sex, right? So it doesn't matter that person, their feelings, who they are, any real emotional connection whatsoever. And this is what Samson has. It's just strictly lust. I just want her. I want her for what I can get from her. That is lust. So
he saw her like a piece of meat, almost like an object.
Yep.
And a person.
Yeah.
So,
and our culture, I feel bad for women today, you know, because they are, you know, just objects, you know, all the influencers, women on Instagram, whether it be Kardashians, whoever you're talking about, you know, it's all about image and body and beauty, you know, and then they want to act like they're all natural and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like the only thing that you're pitching to us is, you know, your
sex.
Sex.
And it's how they dress too. I mean, partly the blame is on the women's too, on the ladies, because the way they dress. I mean, they dress pretty, you know, you see them with a lot of leggings, and then they have like crop tops. And nothing wrong with leggings, right? But I mean, if it's showing, you know, it's like skin tight. So you're seeing everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're showing like your bottom, you know, your butt, you're gonna, a lot of men are gonna look, and it's hard not to look. I mean, that's the only thing you got on. Where are we supposed to look? And I'm not saying you should be looking at that directly, but the temptation's there. And if it's more, and if there are, if there's more of that, you're more likely to just take a glance. You can't do anything about that.
Yeah. Right. There's a popular Instagram reel clip or whatever, Conan O'Brien. One time there's one, and I think it's happened more, but it's like this one beautiful woman's on the show, and she's like, Conan, look up, you know, and he's like embarrassed. Oh, and that particular one, you know, and it's like, well, she's, you know, sticking everything out
right
for the world to see, you know, and he's a foot away from her. It's like, what, like you're saying, what are we supposed to do as guys? That's what the world's coming at us, pitching to us, and it really very much is a battle. So what does the Bible say about lust? Let me give you some scriptures. Matthew 5:28 says, you may think that you have abided by this commandment, walked the straight and narrow, but I tell you this, any man who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. Mm-hmm. And that is the killer for us as dudes. We're like, what? You know, mm-hmm. just a look, and that's how serious lust is to the heart of God. And that's how big of a battle it is for us as males, including Samson, all the way right here to 2024. Mm-hmm. For us as dudes, we're battling lust and the looks, right? Because we're going to talk about here in these next studies, we have this very cool, amazing, but yet evil thing that dominates our life called the smartphone, you know, and that smartphone is, you know, trying to give us images to lust after as guys. And that's what we deal with. Galatians 5:19 says, it's clear that our flesh entices us into practicing some of its most heinous acts, participating in corrupt sexual relationships, impurity, and unbridled lust. I thought that was a powerful verse, is that our flesh, and this is a daily grind. You know, this isn't just like you and I, just Rolando, just because we're married and because we can, in a godly way, have sex with our wives, doesn't mean the sexual battle is over with, right? It doesn't mean the lust battle is over for us, because the world is still coming at us. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And wants us to think there's something more or something better or something greater. So it's difficult, whether you're married, whether you're unmarried, you know, you guys are in that 18 to 35 range, which media is going after very heavily. Or if you're someone like me, who's crossed the 40 mark now, lust is still coming at all of us.
Yeah. I'll have to add something to that too, is for married men, I think it's a little bit different. If you're married a woman that you desire, that, you know, you love everything about her, I don't feel like you're tempted as much, because you're just like, why am I even looking at that? You know, I got my beautiful wife, right? And for me, you know, I'm single, and so it's a lot harder for me because I don't have that yet, right? But when I do, you know, it's going to be, I know she's going to be beautiful. I know, because I'm not going to marry a girl that I don't desire. Now, don't take me wrong, I'm not going to. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is I'm not going to. I am.
Beauty is in the
eye. She's
going
to be beautiful. She's going to be beautiful. And, you know, and so I know whenever I get tempted, I'm like, why am I going to look at that? I got my beautiful wife over here. For me, at least that's how I see it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm going to shoot for.
Yeah. At least you have the good mindset.
Exactly.
There's a lot of men that don't. They just, you know, they just look at flesh still, like when they were married, and they're like, oh, look another girl.
Right.
It's like, do you not like what you have? Like, you know, it's, and it's, everything is hard. If you're going to do that way.
Right, because you're comparing.
Comparing your wife to another woman, it's not good.
It's not fair, too, because you're probably going to have kids with this woman already. And her body's already been through a whole kinds of changes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, no, for sure.
One more scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. It says, learn how to take charge, and this is interesting, learn how to take charge over your own body, maintaining purity and honor. Don't let the swells of lustful passion run your life as they do the outsiders who don't know God. Don't violate or take advantage of a fellow believer in such matters. As we told you before and warned you, remember the warning label, the Lord will settle the score with anyone who does these things. And so that was interesting for me as someone who is always trying to be more disciplined in my studying and my reading. Again, in my master's degree, it's helping me to be a more disciplined leader and person. But learning to manage my own body mentally, but, you know, then physically, you know, when it comes to exercise, you know, I like to work out, I like to do that. And as I'm getting older, I'm having to figure out how to become more disciplined. How can I be more disciplined? But guess where we also have to learn to take control of our body. when it comes to our sexual desires mm-hmm. and when it comes to lust. So
I thought you were going to say fasting. I like fasting, you know?
All right, so I want to give us three thoughts for this particular session regarding for males, us as males, on how to deal with lust and interact with lust. I don't want to say interact in a good way, but how we're going to actually thwart off or, you know, stay away from lust. The first one is I want us to consider is our position, and I hope this makes sense. Although we're primarily talking about Samson, probably my favorite Old Testament character is David, and I know it's popular for a lot of people. Sure. But, you know, we always talk about David being a mighty warrior, a mighty man of God, a man after God's own heart, but he also failed sexually.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he failed sexually.
Yeah, he did.
Here's 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. It says, in the springtime of the year, the season when most kings took their soldiers out to fight, David stayed in Jerusalem and sent Joab out as general in charge of David's men and the whole army of Israel. They destroyed the Ammonites and put the city of Rabbah under siege. Early one evening, David arose from his bed and was strolling on the palace roof when he saw a woman bathing, a.k.a. she was naked, on a roof below his. She was very beautiful. So, what's the problem for David in this particular passage of scripture or story?
Just looking at flesh right there. He's just a piece of meat right there. That's all he's thinking.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely doesn't know her, doesn't know anything about her. He's already married. He already has wives at this particular time. So it's a lust thing, right? We're talking about lust. That was purely lust.
David was also, sorry, Pastor, you were saying.
No, go ahead.
No, David was also depressed in this season. He was just depressed, alone, and I'm not sure what happened that put him in there. Do you remember what happened exactly that placed him in this depression? I can't remember, but either way, he was in this just depression, and so that also played a part in him lusting for this woman because he should have been out in battle. I think one thing to remember is to fight, you know, over lust or sin in general, is to just to be busy, is to do something, work out, you know. And I know this doesn't answer your question, but you know, now that I just thought about it, I'm going to just say it is, you know, to fight this kind of stuff is you just be busy, find yourself to be busy, you know, and sometimes people work a lot of hours and, you know, and they're like, oh man, I'm so tired of working these hours, but man, it's honestly a blessing because I bet if you were just at home, what kind of temptations you're going to face? I mean, you're going to face all kinds of temptations. You know, I have had a pastor told me, he's like, you know, stay away from your bed when you're at home. Do not lay in your bed when you're at home alone. You know, he always told me, just stay busy, do something. Do not stay in your bed. You know, do not lay in your bed. And so I was just like, you know, as I'm growing older in this faith, I'm like, oh, I see what he means now. I see what he means. And so it's really, really about just staying busy. Don't place yourself in a situation where you're alone. And if you are depressed, you know, go out there. David should have been out there fighting instead of being there. And then, you know, and all, not to mention I think the girl played a part. It was at fault too, because she went out there naked on the roof. Like, what lady does that? And I think, I think she played a part in that. So
our position, but you answered that really. It's like when we put ourselves in the wrong places.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where are we putting ourselves? What are, you know, when we're by ourselves, you know, is this a good place to be alone? You know, is this a, you know, with our friends, or is this a good place to be? Is it good? Is it good to be, you know, I've conquered that in my life as far as bars, clubs, et cetera, things like that. But, you know, when you go to these places, you know, bad things are going to happen. You know, there's nothing, you know, I've been to Juarez, Mexico. I've never had problems, issues. A lot of people think it's a scary place. That's because I don't go out after 1 a.m. I'm not at bars. I'm not, you know, I'm not in places of danger or
where you're white and the whole America government will come after Mexico. I'm just kidding.
No sexual temptation, et cetera. So I want to, you know, when it comes to lust, we need to consider our position, where we're putting ourselves, who we're putting ourselves with, and say, you know, if I put myself in this position, that's going to be a danger spot for me. So I need to make sure that I stay away from that. I need to stay working, stay busy, et cetera. Well, like one lady told me one time, a teen challenge girl that was coming out of bondage and just addiction, idle time is the devil's time, she would say. Idle time is the devil's time. So, number two, our relationship. Samson should have immediately moved on from his desire for this woman simply because she was not a follower of God. The first relationship that takes priority in our relationship is with Jesus, is our relationship with Jesus. Relationships that will diminish or violate that relationship needs to be removed. So, you know, it's kind of like I'm a dad now. And so fortunately, I have one daughter who's getting married, another daughter who, you know, they're adults now, is not dating anyone. But hey, one daughter's like, we started dating this individual who's on the board back there, Sam. But, you know, is he a Christian?
Yeah, woo!
Is he a man of God? Yeah. Does he love God, right? So fortunately he does, we think, up to this point, unless he's just playing a total game on all of us. But, you know, if not, run from him. And as a pastor now that's getting older, I've met so many young women and men that got into relationships with people who didn't love God. And it never works out. No. There's not one time it was good for their spiritual life. Here we are with Samson once again.
Well, for example, whenever I got with my wife, neither of us went to church. You know, we didn't go to a certain religion. And then, like I was telling Pastor a couple of weeks ago, I was like, God put a big testimony in our lives whenever we were first starting dating. We got in a car accident, and then she had found out right there at the hospital that she was pregnant, she was 5 weeks pregnant, and that was one of the biggest things that, you know, the doctors hear that they're like, yeah, I don't think your baby's alive.
I was just going to say, was that baby going to be okay?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, just come back in a couple of weeks, and if you're, we're going to test your blood, so if, you know, a certain level goes up, that means you're still pregnant, and when we went back, thankfully, the Lord kept her alive.
Yeah, so no kidding. Nothing wrong, nothing
then,
at all, huh?
No, nothing.
See, wow.
So ever since then, we went to her mom's old church down in Oklahoma, and then that's whenever I became closer to God, and we both did at the same time, and that's what, you know, brought us to this Christian religion.
Wow, nice.
We're so happy to have you, man. Yeah. So happy to have you.
Our relationships will determine the direction of our spiritual lives. Our, you know, what comes like a wife, husband, friends, you know, our relationships are definitely determined. I can look at your influences. You can look at my influences, and it will determine where you're going. So that's why even to this day, I still got to manage the people I hang out with and I give my time to and who I spend time with, because they are determining, they're taking me closer to God, further away from God. So I always got to be evaluating my relationships. Samson entered into multiple ungodly, lustful relationships. And guess what? If you do that long enough, we'll find out here in just a few minutes, you will find yourself with your eyes gouged out, chained to a couple poles, getting ready to die. You know, and a sad, sad ending for Saul. And it was really those lustful relationships that kept taking him down this path. And I would encourage us as guys, another great book that really gives us a lot of warnings is just reading the whole book of Proverbs. If you ever read the whole book of Proverbs, he's like, my son, stay away from prostitutes. Don't go to her door. Don't go down that road. Just stay away. You know, in Jesus' name. So, number three, our consumption. What is the one object that dominates our lives? I mentioned this, the smartphone. And here's some statistics I found that were interesting. And this is specifically towards pornography, which is, I should give these to my wife because she does like a lot of teaching for young people. But listen to this. Every second, 28,258 users are watching pornography on the internet every second. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography on the internet. Every second. Every second, 372 people are typing the word adult into a search engine. That's every second. Okay? Okay, every day, there are 37 million pornographic videos are created in the United States. Every day, 2.5 billion emails containing porn are sent or received. That's every day. There are 68 million search queries related to pornography. 25% of total searches are generated. Every day, 160,000 queries related to child pornography are received every day. So we went from every second to every day. And then how online pornography affects Americans. About 200,000 Americans are classified as porn addicts. 40 million American people regularly visit porn sites. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. 34% of internet users have experienced unwanted exposure to pornographic content through ads, pop-ups, ads, misdirected links, or emails. And then 1/3 of porn viewers are women, which was interesting as well. But this shows you, man, like, lust is coming at us, you know, porn, like it is raging, and you can be the most innocent of people and it's going to come at you,
and
right?
Like you said earlier too, it's mostly just social media and everyone that's advertising. It's,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of clickbaits you click on, emails or anything. And I've seen it with my daughter too. She has her little iPad and, you know, there's stuff that pops up. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I don't like giving her to her that much, just because you never know what you're going to get into.
Yeah.
I put in my notes here, imagine if Samson had a smartphone. Like, I mean, he already torched his life through lust, but imagine if he had a Samson.
Probably would have died that first day.
Samson with a smartphone would not have been a good thing. A large part of our battle with lust is connected to our digital consumption. So as a sports guy, UFC guy, NBA guy, NFL guy, a pro wrestling guy, they talk about this all the time. The most coveted advertising category in America is males 18 to 35. That is the most coveted digital media demographic. So you guys, that's why I have you here today, because you have to think they're coming at you specifically, you know, and they realize if they can destroy that generation, because they're kind of like, whether some of the advertising stuff I was searching is like, you know, some older guys like in their 50s, 60s now, they're kind of, you know, they're more tame now. They're not going to get as crazy. They're, you know, they're kind of more settled in their ways, but let's get these young guys, because they're going to have a much more profound effect on the world as it exists.
Right.
So, group question, how do you view our digital consumption as a potential problem for dealing with lust? How do you view our digital consumption as a potential problem for dealing with lust?
Well, like what Rolando was saying earlier, you know, how his daughter was just scrolling, then something would just pop up that would be inappropriate. That happens all the time. When I'm on Instagram, I see that all the time. Now, luckily, Instagram gives you the option to put not interested in, so you can lower that what do you call them? Algorithm? Is that the word for them?
Yeah.
And so you can lower that. And so luckily you don't see it pop up as much, but it still pops up. And then if you're seeing that constantly for hours on days, you know, you are going to think that thought's going to come on. You're going to be like, oh man, she's so beautiful. And then you're going to notice her features, her body, her physical body and all these other things. So yeah, the more you're on that, the more you're seeing that, the more you're getting tempted.
Yep.
So yeah, no, for sure. And one thing I've been doing that I need to go back on was I used to just watch the time on my iPhone, because it tells
screen
you
screen time.
Yeah, your screen time.
Yeah,
such a cool tool. And so I used to watch that. I used to be pretty bad. So now today it's only 5 hours, but still 5 hours is not what I want to see. I want to see 2 hours. It used to be eight. I think it was 8 to 10 to 12 at one point. I'm like, man, this is bad. Yeah. So this is good. You know, I'm happy with this 5 hours, 11 minutes. That's good compared to that.
Yeah.
Still want to go lower though, and I'm going to.
Yep.
And so yeah, and then luckily it breaks it down to what it was. I think entertainment was 2 hours. So social media, and then social media was 2 hours. No, 3 hours more like it. And then entertainment was 49 hours, and then information and reading was 32 minutes. And so that's my screen time. And yeah, no, that's what will happen if you end up watching a lot of, if you're on social media a lot or on your phone a lot, you'll be tempted more. I think what you can do is do another out is, first of all, you know, obviously when you're at work, don't be on your phone. You're supposed to be working, right? Don't get me wrong though. I mean, I've been there. I've been on my phone. I mean, it is what it is, but I mean, I'm working towards not being on it as much. Another thing too is, I'm wanting to read more. So for me, I have set goals, what I want to do. Like one thing, why I'm reading more is because I want to be better at speaking, and I want to be better at using other words and just be better and more clear what I want to say, to a point that a five-year-old can get it. And so reading helps me do that. So I think what people need to do is just have set goals, you know, what you want to do in your life, what you know, even like start with your health. I think that's like the most important thing. Start with your health, start with those goals, and then start building, and then build from there. And I think from that would end up taking over your time from social media.
All right, let me close this session with the scripture, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, when a person is carried away with desire, lured by lust, and when desire becomes the focus and takes control, it gives birth to sin. When sin becomes fully grown, it produces death. Wow. That's what happens when we let lust come into our life and begin to grow and grow and grow and grow. It turns to sin. And it's going to take us out ultimately.
Yeah, it's going to take you to hell. And,
happened for Samson. He does have redemptive moment we will get to. But if you're struggling with lust today, I want you guys to think about three things. I want you to think about, number one, your position, how you can change your position where you're at, what you're watching. I want you to think about, what was the second one we did? Are your relationships? Think about the relationships that you have right now. Are they healthy, unhealthy? Do you need to get rid of some? Mm-hmm. You may need to make some new ones that are more godly, more spiritual. And then thirdly, your consumption, screen time, et cetera. What you're watching, listening to. Think about those things, and they, because they're either going to fan the flame of lust or diminish it.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yep, that was good.
All right. Let me pray for the guys that might be listening here today, and we'll move on from the session, and hopefully you'll listen to session two. God, I just pray today for us here in this room, and I pray for all the guys that are listening that might be struggling with lust today. I pray that you would help them, that you'd give them the power and the strength to change their position, to change their relationships, and to change their consumption, that they will get closer to you. And God, as they grow closer in you, God, you will give them the victory and the strength to conquer lust and to become more in love with you, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All aboard. It's time to take a ride.